Show me love, show me love. Good evening, welcome to another Just Play podcast, where I am joined with the mighty great Andy Aitken. Andy, how are we?
Evening, Ryan. For a second I didn't know whether you knew what time of day it was, but yeah, we are recording this one into the evening.
It's a late one.
It is.
It is a late one, but we love it, so, you know, we just keep going. So, I think we're obviously today's podcast. We're thinking about talking about the obvious, excellent Grand Slam.
Number two Grand Slam.
You need to watch the other podcast actually to reveal.
Oh yeah, I've done a bit of a reveal for mine, haven't I? Yeah, no.
But you know. But we obviously need to talk a little bit about, obviously, the first few rounds of the mighty Wimby. So I'm just going to say, Andy, do you want to just give us a little run-through of what you think and about the upsets that have been
going
on?
You the Andy Aitken 60/90-second breakdown of what's happened at Wimbledon in the last 2 days. So round number one is pretty much completed. So let's start with Musetti losing to Biashvashvili, however you pronounce his surname, in four sets. Semi-finalist last year, gone. Zverev, big German name, gone. Five sets. Medvedev, again, past semi-finalist. Pretty sure he made semi-finals last year, if not the year before. Mm-hmm. He's gone out in four. Holger Rune, established player, gone out in four. Tsitsipas, bit unfortunately. He was two sets down, I think retired earlier on in the third with a back issue. Bublik, who has been coming into the grass season with great form. Obviously, we spoke about it in terms of Haller winning, coming in with great form. Unfortunately, loses to Munar, who pushed Alcaraz pretty close at Queens, to be fair, so did very well. Other notable matches, obviously, in the men's, we've got, obviously, speak Brits, so Draper cruising through. Unfortunately, his, obviously, opponent retired. Big credit to Ollie Tarver, Jack Pennington-Jones, probably the stalwart of British tennis now, Dan Evans, getting over Jay Clark. To name a few in the men's, I've probably left some out, so apologies to any Brits. Obviously, Djokovic has finished this evening. He went to four. Had a few issues as well. So that's pretty much the men's, I would say. Anything you want to add and you can remember?
Well, I think you've covered quite a bit of that there, to be fair. Did we say Tsitsipas going out?
I'm afraid so, yeah. We've already done that one.
Like you say. I mean, what an amazing time to be a Brit, to be fair, watching Wimbledon, because I think, 2 days have gone. We've got 10 players through to the second round of Wimby. I think that is
amazing.
Well, obviously it's a record, and I think it's great for us, really, isn't it? And you know, if you look at those some of those players, I think, you know, they've definitely got, they're developing all the time, aren't they? You know, Draper, okay, it's probably quite nice to have a first round where you can just get into the swing of Wimbledon and get used to it. Get ready for the surface, get a match under your belt, although they've done Queens and all these other kind of warm-up events. I think it's good just to get your warm-up match done, really, isn't it? Really, well, it should be for these guys, but I mean, some of the upsets have been crazy. I suppose the other thing to probably point out is there's a lot of players. I mean, we're seeing quite hot weather, but this probably isn't too dissimilar to like an Australian Open, right? So,
right.
Why are there, do you think, so many retirements and injuries going on? I mean, I suppose we're quite later on in the season, aren't we? So, injuries are likely to kind of prevail. Faster surface, slips, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I wonder sort of, I know you and I have had this discussion, I think, a little bit off the pod in terms of actually, you know, you've got 128 players in that main singles draw.
Yeah.
I mean, how many do we actually think are going in fully fit? You know, who's going in 90% plus in terms of fitness. And realistically, it's probably maybe half the field, maybe slightly more, going in like almost fully fit.
Yeah, I suppose it would be the guys that were, you know, maybe not your kind of the guys you'd always expect to be, like, you know, Djokovic and all those sort of guys going in. They've been playing all the tournaments, quite the bigger end of the tournaments, haven't they? So maybe the likes of our kind of up and coming Brits, you'd maybe like to think, might have a little bit in them, perhaps. Whereas obviously the other guys that have had all those hard, heavy, long matches. I mean, it's been a lot of 4 and 5 setters, like, well, you know, 4 and 5 setters already in round one, haven't there?
Yeah.
Which is for the men's, obviously. Did we mention the women's? Have we talked about the women's?
No, I can do my 60 to 90 second breakdown. I feel like this could become a theme over the next 2 weeks. well, it depends obviously what happens. So, I mean, Jesse Pegula from America, unfortunately knocked out early on today, along with probably a bit more of a surprise, current French Open champion, Coco Gauff, goes out to Jastrzemska. I can never do pronounce her surname, but yeah, I saw a little bit of that. Coco looked to have the yips a little bit on that forehand and serve, which has plagued her before. Certainly she served double fault. She just, from her demeanor, didn't really look all that confident, and I certainly saw the last service game that she had, it kind of, I hate to use the word tanking, but she didn't really look like she got any fight. So I wonder whether the turnaround from French to Wimbledon, bit tight for her. However, you've got to manage that, you know, you've got to do a Carlos Alcaraz and go to IB for a few days and then then go and compete again. It doesn't work for everybody. Maybe she just needs to go to the... But the tough thing, obviously, Alcaraz is, like, European, so, you know, going to Spain to Britain, for example, is, what, two and a half hours, depending on where you are in terms of a flight. For Coco to go home to the States, you know, you're looking at, depending on where she resides, 7 hours, maybe. It's, you know, it's not ideal, is it? So she, maybe, possibly, things like going home were a little bit trickier for her, but...
She's probably not really thinking about that, let's face that. She's probably going to stay there, I reckon, a few days, isn't she? Enjoy it a little bit.
Well, I mean, she's probably on the first flight now, isn't she? She's got 2 weeks off, so she's probably thinking, I'm going to go home. And that's probably what everybody would do, and I think it's, you wouldn't expect anything less. Olympic champion Zheng... Oh, sorry, I was just going to continue. Olympic champion Zheng is out... Onto the Brits, we've got Katie Bolter, centre court against Paola Badosa. Great three-set win there. That was really, really good. Sonny Cartel beating Ostapenko, who obviously pretty big hitter on the grass. That was a pretty big win. Yeah. Obviously, Raducanu over Mimi. And then Hannah Klugman, I believe she might have lost possibly in 2 sets. She played someone quite established, I seem to remember. But again, she's only 16 years old, so again, big future for her. I believe Harriet Dart went out. I don't know about Jodie Burridge, actually. I don't know whether I can leave that one with you very quickly while I ramble on about a couple of others, potentially. But yeah, essentially, again, I would say the men's have seen more shocks compared to the ladies. And historically, it's probably the other way around. You probably see ladies having more, again... more of the shocks. Again, we always question why that happens, possibly. But, and I guess the argument before has been the strength and depth in the ladies has always been very even, and that's why, you know, it's very hard to call the champion at the start. Whereas men's, certainly over the last, you know, dozen years to 15 years, has always been one of 3 or 4 names. Now that's probably getting a little bit, you know, your 1 to 3 is pretty set. You know, there's 3 people that could probably win Wimbledon this year, but the, you know, the next chunk, actually, anybody on their given day, probably, as we're seeing now, could go out, so.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I was just having a little look. I see Jodie Burridge went out to Katie McNally, didn't she?
Okay.
She lost 6-3, 6-1, so, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, you're seeing all the usual suspects, Iga Swiatek, you know, in the ladies' draw, you know, all the people you're kind of expecting. I think it's great to, for tennis, I suppose, is to see, actually, the strength and depth that tennis actually is beginning to show. You might possibly resent, like, sorry, resent, maybe compare it to golf, where you've got, you know, in the men's, you kind of seemingly see a lot of different winners in the men's golf opens and that sort of thing. So I think they can only make the sport greater, can't it, really? We're seeing some, yeah, we're seeing some really good matches. And, you know, if you're going first day, couple of days of Wimbledon, what a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get your ground pass, you're going down to watch all those outside courts. I'm not being funny, there's some really good matches out there to be watched.
Yeah.
And people that have paid their money to go and watch it have definitely got some good matches on the go. So,
Yeah,
I mean, off the back, I don't know how many retirements we've had, but there's been a lot. I know I've talked about it before, but, you know, there's been a lot of retirement. I think from previous time that I remember, I don't recall there being so many.
I think retirements previously, I remember, I don't know whether you remember this, retirements, if anything, have been because of slips and falls. But yeah, they've obviously now changed that, because what used to happen is obviously everyone just practiced on a rangi, which is obviously where the practice courts are, and they essentially left all the show courts. And I think now what they're doing, obviously the week before, is they're allowing people to, obviously that's why you see social media clips of everyone hitting on center and number one, and if you're a seed you can do that, and obviously just to sort of play them in a little bit and just, you know, get rid of some of that actual, you know, I guess new grass, so to speak. So that's the only real time I remember certainly injuries of this significance taking. But we know, you know, grass court tennis is pretty heavy on the body. Although the game is quick, it's pretty weighty. Certainly from speaking from my experience, I'm fortunate enough to play grass court tennis each year. It is quite, you know, weight bearing in terms of like the balls onto the strings. And obviously, you know, for me, I go for a lower string tension when I play on the grass. And even though it's a quicker game, I don't know whether that has anything to impact. Probably a lot of it is transition from clay to grass, I guess. As you know, we don't know the physical changes from adapting from one surface to another. That might be another thing, or maybe it's just the season. Possibly it's just quite long at the moment.
Yeah, I think definitely going from clay to grass is a massive change, isn't it? In terms of, you know, obviously clay being, you know, holding up the ball a bit more, different style of game, whereas obviously grass is. It's a slippier surface, right? So, I mean, obviously, I know they're doing slides most of the time, actually, in both surfaces, which you probably didn't see much of that in earlier days, did you? In days gone by, they seemingly are kind of advancing their movements, because, you know, staying on your feet on grass can sometimes be quite tough, isn't it? Especially on a slightly slippier surface, whereas clay, you can feel like you can kind of grab a bit of the surface, can't you? I know a lot of them are sliding into balls and sliding into the strikes. I think it's just the, you know, the skiddy surface, like you say, it's the fastest surface as well. So reaction time is definitely down compared to other surfaces, and they're hitting the ball so hard, aren't they? I think we have to probably talk about the record being broken at 153 miles an hour. For the fastest serve, that is
huge,
and especially when they're talking about, you know, the balls being five times heavier than they have been previously, to hit that kind of speed is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's if it's the serve that you're referring to as well, I'm pretty sure he actually lost the point as well.
Oh,
yeah, because I think it's, yeah, is it? I can't have you pronounce his name. Pericard,
yeah. Is it Petr?
Yeah, he's Fritz. I remember seeing the highlight of it. And Fritz is like, return this 153, chipped it. And Fritz obviously goes on to win the point. It's a bit like, oh, you put all that effort in for a massive serve. And,
So I think, you know, in terms of overall sort of stance on the first few days, how are you feeling like the tournament's unfolding?
I'm all for upsets. I think it creates great drama. I think it creates great talking points. I guess the only slight drawback is when you start to get into the latter rounds, say like quarters, and maybe somebody's made a bit of a run physically they're not used to playing so many best of fives. For example, if it's in the men's, you maybe start to see them play a bigger, more established seed in that quarter final, especially if you maybe got a tick on that day, possibly as a quick three setter. And you probably, in an ideal world, want to see in a quarter final the number two seed against the number six seed or something like that. You know, they're going to probably be both pretty established in the tournament by that point. You know, you're probably 9-10 days in. So that's maybe the only drawback, but that's, I think, the rest of the field, that's when they look at established seeds. They're going to take them out early because they're just, everyone's fresh, especially on a grass court, regardless of how many tournaments you played. You know, Wimbledon is a different beast, and yeah, I think people just probably look at it, or competitors look at it differently. If you're going to take someone out pretty early on, like a, yeah, like a top seed, that's the time to do it.
I suppose when you've got the, you know, the, earlier stages as well, some of these key seeds that we see that do get knocked out, there's probably a lot more match stats and viewing to kind of have on them to, you know, you can obviously do your homework on some of these players more so than other players that are coming up and, you know, up and coming. So, you know, that might also be why we might see a few random shocks to a degree. You know, so I think, like you say, I'm all for it always being, you know, up and down. It's been great having kind of, you know, the top four for so long, and obviously Djokovic doing so well in terms of, you know, still going, obviously being arguably the greatest of all time. Obviously, I know that's going to be, you know, a big bone of contention, and obviously people are going to have their own opinions on that. But, you know, statistically, he's got to be it really, isn't he? So, yeah, I think anything can happen. I mean, I don't know which matches, you know, you've really tuned into, but I did watch a bit of Taylor Fritz, Petri Pericard. I did watch the Carl, a bit of Alcaraz match yesterday. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I wasn't too bothered about him kind of losing the first set and that kind of thing, because I think they will learn off the top four again. You know, how many times have we see a lot of those guys basically just going out maybe second gear and third gear in that first set, just to kind of maybe get a feel for the first set. And then when it gets to the second and third sets, I think they're the most important ones. You know, you get to the third set, and if you're 2-1 up, you know, that's kind of like where the momentum lies, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So yeah, no, I wasn't too worried, but, you know, obviously there was a few things going on there. I don't know if there's, who knows what goes on there in their heads, right? Really. I mean, can you imagine being in Wimbledon centre court playing in front of like thousands of people, millions of watchers?
Well, that's what I'm sort of now coming back onto, and you made the good point earlier about the 10 Brits making it through, and I think we probably need to touch on that. And, you know, they won their first matches, and, you know, you could argue it's great to win the first round match, but now you're checking the next one. So Olli Tarve, great story, 7-16 in the world, wherever he is. Second round, he's got Alcaraz now on centre tomorrow. So it's like, yeah. you go from such an elation going through qualifying, and, you know, he's probably feeling like adrenaline's getting him through this, but I've got a feeling like there's definitely a bagel set tomorrow, probably maybe, yeah, in the first, because you could see the adrenaline probably pumping, and you're about to step on center against like the guy who's just played one of the greatest French Open finals as well. So you're probably, yeah, thinking straight away, how the flipping heck am I going to win any points here? I don't want to get embarrassed, and all these sorts of maybe going through his head straight away. Dan Evans is another great story. He's like, yeah, great, I finally got a little bit of form. And now he's up against Djokovic in a couple of days' time. So it's kind of the highs, and yeah, then back to not the lows, but the realizations of, like, you know, oh, crikey, this is only going to get harder as I go.
I feel there's, you know, there's quite a few of those guys that already maybe had a bit of experience already. But like you say, like Tarve against Alcaraz, I mean, that's probably going to be a bit of a shock for sure. But then you've got like Cam Norrie and Francis Tiafoe. You know, that's going to be a good game, for sure. And like you say, it's just like those newcomers, let's say, into the mix. I think it'd be great experience for them, and hopefully, you know, they can cause an upset. And like you say, there's not loads of stats all over the place for these players. They don't play against each other So you never know, do you, really? I mean, we've fifth set with Carlos Alcaraz, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, anything can happen. I mean, Cam Nori, I suppose, you know, he should be okay, do you think? I think he's playing some good tennis. He does usually play good tennis.
Yeah, he's made semis at Wimbledon before. He lost to Djokovic, didn't he? I think around COVID time. Yeah.
This is the dream court, isn't it? For all us Brits, you know, we usually love to be out there.
I don't know. Interesting. Will be super interesting. That'll be a good one. It'll be a good one. I mean, in theory, Tiafoe's got the firepower, but has he got the patience to outlast Norrie, who will probably just grind? But you're right, Norrie is playing well now. I mean, that's a good, yeah, that was the other one I forgot. A good win against Baptiste Rigout. You know, he's no mean feat as well. He's a semi-finalist at Wimbledon in the past as well, so.
And he's been playing well, hasn't he? So.
He has, yeah. So I guess we wait and see, Ryan. We wait and see.
We do. And obviously, just to mention, because we, you know, we've got to mention everybody here, but we've got Emma Raducanu, who's playing Vondrousova.
Oh, yes.
Who was the previous winner, wasn't she?
Yep.
And
she's playing well. She just won a grass court tournament, so.
But hope,
yeah, Emma probably goes in as not the favourite in that, I would say.
Yeah, and, you know, anything can happen, maybe. And I think you've got Katie Balter's got Solana Sierra, which hopefully, you know, we'd like to think she's got a good chance there, perhaps. And looking forward, Sunny Cartel's got Tomova, which, again, I think, you know, could be a nice little way through. I think there's a lot to look forward to these next 2 weeks, and we're going to be keeping live, you know, not live updates,
well, that'd be good.
Podcast updates on our opinions on these, aren't we? And that's, I think, you know, where we leave it, isn't it? I think we've kind
that's
of
right, round one wrapped up.
Round one wrapped up. So, guys, if, you know, obviously you hear it, you've got any comments, let us know. Keep listening in. We'd love to hear any thoughts. And I suppose until next time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you all soon.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.